Hello and welcome to the Art of Oppression podcast. These podcasts offer the opportunity to hear from artists and or activists who express and articulate their experiences of oppression or inequity using creative means. My name is Patricia Francis. If you've listened to the last The Art of Oppression podcast, you'll know that we've been talking with Hetain Patel, and I'm pleased to say we can continue the conversation now. So, Hetain, just give us an idea. When did your interest in art actually begin?
Right from when I was a kid, really. You know, I was always, it was the thing that made me feel special in a way. I loved drawing, and that's what I was really good at. And I was always the best in the class at drawing. You know, I could draw things that look like other things, which I guess is what we recognize as art. And so that made, you know, I loved doing that, the challenge of it. It felt like a escapist world. And it felt like something I was celebrated for. And, you know, it felt like I had merit.
Right.
And so that kind of thing drove me through the years, and eventually led me to want to take it further in my education.
So you studied at Nottingham Trent, graduated there. At that stage, do you feel that you found your creative voice?
I felt like I had a starting point. I definitely had things that I wanted to explore, and felt like I had what you'd call some friction in the ground that I could grasp onto and kick off on. Mm. You know, so I'd already started exploring self-portraiture around Indian signifiers in my work and British Indian identity. So that had just started towards the end of my degree, and I had a body of work that I wanted to start making after I graduated. So I didn't do it immediately. I felt like I needed to take a break. So I went to America for 4 months doing this Camp America thing and traveling around. And then as I got to the end of that, I just itching to make work again.
So can you remember your first commission?
I don't do a lot of commissions in the sense. Well, no, that's not true. A lot of the commissions that I do are usually self-instigated. So, meaning I have an idea and I apply to the Arts Council, I apply to different partners to co-commission it. It's not necessarily like someone approaches me with a commission, although that does happen now. At the start, it's very much about you trying to make your own work and find your own ways to support your own work rather than being commissioned. But I do very vividly remember my first opportunity, which was a residency in Scunthorpe at 2021 Visual Arts Centre. Mm. And they gave me like a few months of studio space and a fee and, equipment. And it was just amazing. It was that, you know, I was able to make my first body of photographic works, which then gave me the fodder start my art practice, and it just felt like being taken seriously, you know. And I think that's such a key thing for an artist. Mm. Feel like you're being taken seriously.
And when you were doing that body of work, can you remember what was motivating it, inspiring it? Were there any barriers of thinking in terms of, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that? How conscious or aware of you were you of audience, or are you now of audience?
I think I became much more conscious of audience as time went on. In those times, you know, not to sound like in my day kind of thing, but you know, social media didn't exist, the internet barely existed. You know, it was kind of like so there was never this kind of sharing of a work as you're making it, as you're developing it. Do you know what I mean? There's no, you can't put anything up on Insta or make a YouTube video or anything like that. You're developing it very much in isolation. I think that does two things. One, you have to be really self-motivated, you know, because in effect, nobody cares. You know, you just sort of have to get on with it. And then secondly, You have to really be finding ways to share it with people, you know. And so that residency was leading up to an exhibition, which was at the end part of it. But in a way, I had things set in place already, you know, and so I could kind of quietly get on with things. And the only thing that motivates you is not audience at that stage, it's your own work. So, you know, when I was taking these, working on these photographs, I've been motivated by seeing the results when I get in the dark room. And when you get something that works, it's intoxicating, you know, it's like wowing and just like, you know, I love that. So it's kind of, yeah, just trying to find process through that. I think it also feels quite lonely in that time, because, you know, it wasn't in a residency where there was other artists, or, you know, it's in an art center that, you know, small art center that people getting about their daily business in the cafe or at a reception something like that. You're kind of the lone artist in there. So you have to kind of, you know, different to being in art school.
Yeah. So I suppose another question there then is, to what extent does audience govern your art? So do you think, if I do this, they'll like it, or if I do this, they won't like it?
It's never about like or don't like. It's about engagement and what it could elicit for an audience, what it would make them think about, what action it could have in the world, even if it's a seed. So, for example, what I mean by it doesn't matter, well, it does matter, you know. I also like to be liked, you know, and my work to be liked, of course, you know, I'm human. But what I mean by that comment is, if, for example, we think of Don't Look at the Finger or Trinity, the most important thing in a way is, even if you don't like the work, I feel like I want you to feel like it's expensive. You know, I want you to feel like you walk into that gallery and it feels like an expensive Hollywood movie. And the reason for that is, that's the political motivation behind that work. I want people to feel and see that Black, Asian, or other minority bodies, people, are in an expensive film. We deserve that. We deserve to be seen and be part of and be creating this work. And so, you know, that's the, but, you know, you could still feel that and understand that, but maybe you're like, oh, I'm not feeling the story in this, or I don't know, you might not be, you know, you might think, I don't know, you might still not be your thing, but that's okay if it isn't. It's just that it's the weight of that other thing is the most important thing to me.
That's really interesting. I always wonder, you know, there are people who say you just don't think about the audience, but I do find that difficult to, if, you know, if you are creating, then I find it difficult to understand how that process can happen without understanding who you might be creating for, who might come and watch this, what the response might be like to the piece. And I just wondered what your take was on it, really. So, yeah.
I mean, I always think about the audience, like, I obsessively, you know, but it's never in a way that I still make my work for me, you know, I'm making compromising decisions in my work where I think, oh, do you know what? I don't really like this aesthetic or this edit or this sound or whatever, but I'm going to put it in just because I think it will do this to the audience. I couldn't live with that. But I don't think it's ever an either or. I don't feel like work needs to be dumbed down or created in a different way with this idea that it could work for an audience but not work for you as the maker.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what the creative challenge in my work is, to still find, I'm still working with obsession in my work. You know, all the stuff that you see in my practice, it's stuff that I'm obsessed with, and, you know, it keeps me up at night, and kind of, you know, that I indulge in my practice.
Yeah.
But the creative challenge is how you take those things and make it feel relevant to an audience. And you know, what's the point in broadcasting? So, for example, say if I'm obsessed with martial arts, then why don't I just go take some martial arts classes? And you know, which I'm doing, but I mean, you know, why don't I just do that? You know, just go take 5 classes a week, enjoy it. You don't need to tell anyone, but that then it's for me. But if I'm going to broadcast it, if I'm going to want people to, if I'm going to occupy space in galleries and online and people's time, then why should people give their time, or why should people be interested in it? It's not interesting to watch someone else do it necessarily. So that's what the creative journey is like.
Yeah.
Is examining what it is in those things that I'm obsessed with that an audience might also connect with.
Yeah. Enjoy it and see the connection. Yeah. Can I just ask, do you think artists have a role to play with regard to social commentary, historical legacy? I'm just thinking, but really, with regards to, you know, what we're living through at the moment with Ukraine, with the far right in France, the migrant crossing, and how they, you know, the asylum seekers, how they're being treated, and so on. So, not really wanting to be political or get overly political, but just wondered what, you know, do artists have a role to play within all of this?
I mean, I think any part of society that has a voice has some level of responsibility. You know, I don't feel like it should be the role of every artist to do that. But I think it should be generally, but I think it would be wrong if the arts in general didn't engage or ignore it. You know, I feel like art now should be engaging with contemporary culture. And the world we live in now. That's what makes it contemporary art. And so, you know, there's lots of ways to do that. You might choose to just look at colors and different species of birds that exist in today's world. And some might choose to focus purely on the current political situation in Ukraine. Or whatever it is. I think there's room for it all. I think, generally speaking, the arts should definitely be involved in that, just because it has a voice and a platform.
What advice would you give to budding artists wanting to give their creative voice profile? So these are new artists and just thinking, where do I start?
I think, you know, don't do anything generic. You know, sending out blanket emails to lots of curators and museums just doesn't work. You need to be specific. If there's a particular museum, gallery, or whatever, why do you want to work there? You know, why do you want to show work there? And it can't be just because they've got a big name, but engage with their program. I think you've got to remember that institutions are run by people. They're not robots. And everyone, you know, even curators there would like to feel that their work, that their program is being engaged with. I think you should try to meet them. It's virtually impossible to get meetings, but you could go to the opening. They're always at the opening. Go and say hi. Go to every opening. Say hi at all of them. And then if you send them an email down the line, they'll probably reply to you because they recognize you from coming to the opening. You know, so there's ways to get to meet and to chat to people that you want to chat to without just having formal meetings. Be interested in what people are doing if that's where you want to engage. And then, you know, the other thing is, I personally think it's also all about the work. And, you know, people can deny you meetings, people can deny you exhibitions or whatever. I think the one thing that we have as artists that, you know, regardless of profile, is you can't touch our work. You know, we can still make the work. And that's when I'm happiest. You know, I love showing work and accolades and you know, recognition, but I'm never happier than when I'm working and creating and solving and, you know, making something that I'm buzzing off. And no one can take that away from you. And I think remembering that an art career is a career and a practice and not just a project, you know, single project. I think that is often I find quite freeing to remind myself that I'm in it for the long run, and that, you know, I'm just building more and more bodies of work that are undeniable in a way, you know, that they're there, they exist. And I think if you want to show your work out there, whether it's on Insta or whether it's a website or whether it's in a gallery or theatre, I think people are attracted by working artists. And, you know, they want to see that work being built up. They get to see a sense of you as an artist. I think it's worth remembering that oftentimes, and I know this from experience, there can be curators, museums, collectors, whatever, who might be observing your work and your practice from a distance for a long time before they reach out or before they give you an exhibition and before you meet with them. I find this increasingly so. So it's not necessarily that they've not liked your work before, but it might be that, you know, there's lots of artists that like, there's very few opportunities, and it just comes about. So I'd say try to be conscientious and busy about creating your work. And that's hard when you're running day jobs as well, but, you know, just be conscious about putting that time in.
Artists practice, not a project. Hattane, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much. Take care. Thank you.
Thanks so much.